During the Advent season, our theme is Behold, the Faithfulness of God. Amid the delights and difficulties of daily life, we can depend upon God's faithful love and mercy. God will always fulfill his promises in his time and according to his ways. He certainly has done that in offering us the gift of salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. And in this series of homilies, I want to take the gospel reading primarily in examining the responses that we make to a faithful God. Because when we look in the gospel reading, the word behold usually is asking the hearer to recognize what God is doing and invites the hearer to make an appropriate response. Last Sunday, we spoke about that the Lord's perspective sets the priorities in our lives. Jesus said, "Watch, be vigilant. Recognize that you live in the loving presence of God. Follow my teaching and example," the Lord says, "and set your priorities according to them." And so I invited us to review, how do we spend our time? And does it reflect the fact that we live in the Lord's loving presence? Of course, we are to live according to our common baptismal vocation as beloved children of God the Father, beloved disciples of Jesus Christ, following him in his church, and to be temples of the Holy Spirit. But then that's lived out in our distinctive vocations within the church. So how is that reflected in the priorities we make in our lives? Yes, glorifying God at school, at work, in our neighborhood, in our interactions with others, but also, does prayer have a priority in our lives? Does reading the scriptures have a priority in our lives? Deepening the relationship we have with our God. For Advent is not just a countdown to Christmas. It is a reminder to be ready for the worthy celebration of Christmas, but also to be prepared to meet the Lord face to face, whether at the hour of our death or at the hour in which he comes again in glory, not as a baby, but as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the victor over sin and death. And so we prepare for that time by recognizing how the Lord is present, preeminently during Holy Mass, when the most important invitation is offered, "Behold the Lamb of God, behold him who takes away the sins of the world. Blessed are those called to the supper of the Lamb." By the power of the Holy Spirit and the words of Christ, the bread and wine is totally transformed into the body and blood, soul and divinity of the Lord. And it's a foretaste of the heavenly feast of eternal life. And so how we live our lives from the Lord's Day to the next Lord's Day gives us an indication on what are the priorities we make in life. And as we examine ourselves, we affirm the good that we are doing, how we are recognizing how God is blessing us, even as he sustains us during difficult times. But then we also recognize obstacles that may be in the way that prevent us from offering ourselves to God wholeheartedly. God offers himself wholeheartedly to us every second of every hour of every day. And as he dwells within us, he invites us to do the same. Not grudgingly, but in response to the overwhelming generosity of God. So the appropriate response that we hear from the gospel reading today is penance. Now, some people would say, how is that a faithful response? We usually do penance because we have been unfaithful to God. Well, it is a faithful response to the faithful God who does not give up on us when we have sinned or when we have forgotten him. He never forgets us. Let's look at the prophecy of Isaiah in the first reading. The people of God had been in exile for about 60 years in Babylon, and it was the consequence of bad choices made by the leadership of the people of God. The people of God remembered what God had done for them, liberated them from being enslaved in Egypt, allowed them to cross through the Red Sea into freedom, continued to love them even when they doubted God. They faced the consequences of being lost in the wilderness for 40 years because they could not trust that God would fulfill his promise. But eventually they occupied the land of promise, and the Lord helps them out through various situations to be victorious. And yet now, about several hundred years before Jesus came to Bethlehem, they don't want to trust in God. They want to trust in geopolitics. And they look for Babylon, which was the superpower in that region at the time, to protect them from other powerful nations in that region. And Babylon took advantage of the vulnerability, and they didn't protect the people of God. They occupied the land and deported many of them into Babylon. And now, as I said, it was several decades later, and they wondered whether God had forgotten them. It's interesting when one deals with difficulties in life and they may say, well, I don't believe in God anymore. But the people believed in God, believed he exists, but wondered whether God had now forgotten them because they had been unfaithful. And so God speaks through the prophet Isaiah and says, comfort, comfort. God has not forgotten you. God is going to liberate you from your sins. God is going to bring you out of exile, but you must be prepared for it. Make a way for the Lord to enter in. Remove the obstacles that hinder you from preparing for the Lord to come. Learn the lessons from the past when you were unfaithful and faced devastating consequences. There are wonderful consequences. If you learn the lessons from the past, repent and allow the Lord to enter in. And that was the message that we heard in the gospel reading today. Several hundred years later, St. John the Baptist, fulfilling the vocation the Lord had given to him to prepare the people of God for the coming of the Christ, the Messiah, his cousin, the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, the Lord is near. He's about to begin his mission and ministry. Prepare the way of the Lord. And how did the people prepare? They came to the Jordan River, the shores of the Jordan River, and they allowed themselves to be baptized by John as they confessed their sins. They wanted to be ready for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. What's the difference between the baptism of John and the baptism that we have received? The people were sincere when they came to the Jordan River, wanting to repent of their sins. But the baptism that John performed was with water only, and it was a purification ritual. But it did not have power to cleanse them from their sins. It was only symbolic. After the Lord Jesus Christ rose from the dead, he told his disciples, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them everything that I have commanded, and I will be with you even until the end of the age. In fact, he said, behold, I will be with you even until the end of the age. The baptism that the Lord instituted and entrusted to his church is not mere symbolism. The Lord Jesus in the sacrament of holy baptism comes to us. The very life and love of God comes to dwell within us, cleanses us of the original sin of disobedience, and any actual sins if we were baptized after the age of 7. And gives us the power to overcome temptation to sin because we still have free will. And what does God give to us to help us? Not just to overcome temptation, but to continue to grow in that relationship with our God who loves us beyond measure. He invests us with the gifts of faith, hope, and love. Faith, the ability to entrust our lives to God and his providence. Hope, to trust that in his providence, God will fulfill whatever he has promised. In his time and according to his ways. Love, loving God for who God is. And then, loving ourselves appropriately and our neighbors appropriately within that context. God has equipped us with everything that we need. And yet, sometimes there are obstacles we put in the way that prevent us from utilizing these gifts fully. And so John the Baptist reminds us who have received the baptism into Christ, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight the way for God to enter into our lives. Remove the obstacles that hinder from that happening. For as I said last week, God is not going to enter into our lives by force or neither by fear, but by the invitation to have faith, hope, love. Penance is a faithful response to our faithful God who has not given up on us and does not abandon us to the power of sin and death. When we engage in penance, we are not engaged in self-hatred. We are engaged in truly loving who we are as people created in God's image and likeness. And we also love others because sometimes our sins impact how we relate to others as well. And so, what do we do as part of this faithful response? When John the Baptist called for repentance, he was not just calling for us to be sorry for our sins. That certainly is a first step, to be sorry that we had violated the commandments of God, that we did not trust God. Trust is at the core of a loving relationship. And we did not trust God, in, at least in the moment we committed the sin. And so we want to turn away from that. But not only do we express sorrow for sin, we want to sanctify our minds. We want to change our minds about sin. We know it can do nothing good for us, and therefore we want to be so full of God's love that we don't want to entertain the possibility to sin. Now, conversion is a process over a lifetime, but the Lord enables us to grow in that process. So, in addition to being sorry for sin, we cooperate with God to help us to avoid the near occasion of sin. Now, we heard in the second reading, St. Peter saying that God is patient, and that patience leads us to want to repent. But we want to be careful. We don't want to take advantage of God's love and mercy. For as Advent reminds us, there will be a time in which time comes to an end. And the time to be able to choose will come to an end. But the Lord is patient. And we're created in God's image and likeness and called to be patient as well with others. And I suppose some of us at times have a problem with impatience, like on Liberty Road, for instance. But we are still called to be beloved children of God who responds in the right way in every situation. And so there are times in which I can be impatient, for instance, and that's why I like to go to the supermarket early in the morning when there are not a lot of people there. And that's what I intended to do yesterday. But when I got up and looked outside, there was a lot of fog out there. And as I've told you before, due to the advancement of glaucoma, The doctor said, I cannot drive at night, and I cannot drive when it's heavily overcast during the day. So I did have to go to the supermarket, so I waited until some of that dissipated, and I was able to travel. But of course, more people were going to the supermarket. And so when you go in, there's some people in a stupor, kind of riding their cart around, not cognizant of other people around them, that there are other people who want to get by them. They're looking at their phone. They're just wandering around. Now, when I go to the store, I know what I want to get. I don't want to get in there and get out of there. Now, if I do see you in the store, I'll stop and say hello, but you know, I want to make my way out of there. And then you get to the cashier, and usually somebody in front of you wants to argue that this was the sale price, and then the cashier says, ask for the manager to come, and all that. And that's when I really have to pray hard. And so, you know, as I said last night, when this happens around this time, Christmas carols don't come to mind, nor do Advent hymns. But one song that was popular on contemporary gospel on Heaven 600, AM 600, WCAO, and it was actually these words as the refrain, get me out, Jesus, get me out of here. And at least that was a prayer. And while the person in front of me was bickering with this cashier about the sale price, I said, thank you, Lord, that I'm able to buy food. Thank you, Lord, that I'm standing up. Thank you, Lord, that I can see. Not as well as I want to see, but I can. That I have a car that I was able to get to the supermarket. Why? Because behold, recognize what God has done and is doing. Impatient wasn't going to make it go faster. And I could have dumped all my stuff back into the cart and, you know, go in a huff to another line. I didn't have my clerics on, but I'm probably what would have happened at that time. So I would say, Father Harris, how are you doing? So so we have to change our minds, just like I'm changing my mind, to make sure that I don't get impatient when my aim to get in and get out of the supermarket gets messed up. And then we continue to grow through that. We face other situations, and we continue to grow with patience. At least I hope so. And that can be the case for any other thing. And so the faithful response enduring penance includes receiving the sacrament of penance and reconciliation. For the Lord instituted that sacrament too, for sins committed after baptism. I read an interview of Father Brian Kaza, who's a priest in the Chaldean Catholic Church, and he had talked about, before he went to the seminary now, how he dated a young woman, and the young woman said, do you avail yourself of the sacrament of penance and reconciliation? He said, no, why do I need to go to a priest? I can just go to God. She said, do you believe the Holy Spirit works through the Catholic Church? Yes. Well, what makes you smarter than the Holy Spirit? What makes you smarter than the Lord Jesus who gave us the sacrament? So, of course, that convicted him there. The Lord Jesus wants to give us a tangible assurance that we can be forgiven of our sins. Certainly, he's not bound by the sacraments, but in the sacrament of penance and reconciliation, we receive the assurance of the forgiveness of our sins. We can't rationalize about our sins. We confess our sins, not anybody else's, not blaming other folk. We may talk about the situation, the context there. But we say, this is what I've done, and I need the Lord's forgiveness. And you hear through the ministry of the church, God granting us pardon and peace. For that is God's faithful response to us, pardon, the forgiveness of our sins. A fresh start and peace, being reconciled to God, experiencing his saving power, and then called to be a sign of love and mercy in the lives of others. That's our faithful response to our faithful God.